Come on, somebody, y'all make some noise for all that God has done, man. Look, let me tell you something. Just in that moment of worship, man, I felt God moving, just felt God showing up, doing something incredible. And I believe that wherever you're watching this from, wherever you're viewing this from, I believe that God met you right there. The awesome thing about Jesus is he says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And how is that possible if Jesus is in heaven? Through his Holy Spirit, through his presence, he's with you. And so when you and I worship God in spirit and in truth, he meets us in that moment. So no matter if you're at home, no matter if you're with some friends, some family, no matter if you're watching this on your phone, in your car, whatever the case may be, I believe that God met you right where you are. And I don't know about y'all, man, I'm so excited about today's worship experience, to be able to still gather together even though we're distant, even though we're disconnected physically. We are still connected as family, still in spirit. I know we're not in physical person, but we're still connected in the body of Christ. We are kindred spirits in Jesus Christ. So I want to say a big welcome to all of our first-time guests, once again. If this is your first time here via online experience through the Bridge Church online experience, I want to say welcome on behalf of our entire church. We say welcome home because we consider you family. And if this happens to be your first time here at the Bridge and viewing us online and experiencing this, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to text the word BFAM to 94,000 because, as our team mentioned earlier before the start of today's worship experience, we got a free gift that we want to share with you just to let you know that we care about you, that we love you, that we are here for you. And before we get into today's message, I want to give a big shout out to our incredible team of people in our church that are serving in so many different ways in this season. We got our team that's serving behind the cameras, that are posting stuff online, that are leading groups, that are doing outreach. Big shout out to all of our B team who are making a difference for the kingdom of God. Hey, church family, can y'all make some noise, digital noise as well? Clap your hands wherever you are for every single person who's making a difference in our church, and for all of you who give and are supporting the vision of our church and supporting the ministry of our church during this pandemic. I want to say thank you just for honoring God with your tithes, with your offerings, through your giving, with your generosity, because it is making a difference. And one of the things that we believe in here at the Bridge Church is we believe in loving people and serving people and caring for people. And I know recently some of you all may have been impacted by the recent storm or hurricane that came through our area. Maybe you're viewing this outside of the Hampton Roads area and you were still impacted. Maybe you live on the East Coast. I want you to reach out to us because we want to help you. We want to serve you. And we got the contact information at the bottom of the screen. So that way you can reach out to us. Please let us know how we can help you, whether it's financially or whether it's in some other way. We want to be a blessing to you. We want to do our best to help you get back on your feet as much as we can. And I'm really excited as well because today kicks off a 21-day journey here at the Bridge Church called 21 Days of Prayer. And we always do this two times a year. We do it in January. We always do it in August. And this is really a time where we can center ourselves and come to God and just seek God intentionally through prayer, but also through fasting. And so on our website, we got all the information that you need to know about prayer and about fasting. I want to encourage you during this season to lean into the presence of God. I want to encourage you in this season to be intentional with pursuing Jesus. I believe that you and I need this more than ever before. We're in a difficult moment right now with everything that's happening with COVID. Schools are, you know, starting back up, but it may look different in the fall depending on where you live and you're trying to figure things out. I believe this is the perfect time for us as a people and for us as a country to seek God intentionally through prayer for the next 21 days of prayer and fasting. And on our website, we got all the information that you need to know about 21 days of prayer and fasting. And online, you'll actually find a digital version of our Pray First prayer journal. And so we got all these different types of prayers in this journal. So that way you can have your own and be able to chronicle just this entire experience. And one of the things that we are doing differently this year for 21 days of prayer and fasting that we normally don't do is we're going to be putting everything online. Everything is digital. And we're doing that out of concern for you. We want to be safe And when it's really kind of safe and we feel like it's comfortable to be safe and we kind of feel like God is leading us to reopen and regather, if you will, we're going to start having in-person gatherings. But for now, everything is going to stay online, including our 21-day prayer experience. And so I want to encourage you to join us on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live for a special time of prayer. But I also want to encourage you to join us on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for a special time of prayer. And I want to actually lead us in a moment of prayer before we go into the word. I believe that today, as we're kicking off 21 days of prayer and fasting, that many of you are dealing with some difficult things, that some of you are in some challenging spots right now, some family issues, some relational issues, spiritual issues, psychological. There's so many different things that are happening right now. And I believe that prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. So I'm just going to ask you right where you are, just with heads bowed and with eyes closed, would you do me a favor? Would you just open up your heart to God right now? Even if you feel comfortable right where you are, just in your home, I want you to lift up your hands if you're able to. I want you to stand up right now if you're able to. I want you to be engaged in this moment. And I want you to begin to open up your mouth and to begin to call on the name of Jesus in this moment, because his name is a strong tower and he is good. And he is faithful. We seek him in prayer. I want you to just call out to him. I want you to give him praise for what he's done. And I also want you to begin to bring prayer requests to him right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we begin this 21 days of prayer and fasting, that you would meet us in a way that we've never experienced you before. I pray, God, that you would open up our eyes. I pray that you would transform our hearts. I pray that you would set us free in areas where there is bondage. And I pray right now in the name of Jesus for any person who is struggling, any person who is going through difficulty, I pray for the people right now that are ready to quit and that are ready to give up. I pray, Father, that during this 21-day prayer season, that they would see you do something they've never seen you do before. I pray that as they have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that you would fill their hearts in the name of Jesus. And we believe that this 21 days of prayer and fasting, even in this year 2020, even in the midst of this pandemic, we know that you are still faithful and we know that you're still going to do great things. And we believe that it is so in Jesus' name. And every single person said amen. Come on, church family, put your hands together for all that God is going to do during this season of prayer and fasting. But once again, it's so good to see all of you all here as best as I can by looking at you via camera. But today I'm excited to be back preaching. I've been off the past 5 Sundays, and big shout out to our team who's been doing an incredible job once again with making sure things are running properly and running smoothly online, so that way all of our ministry can really continue in a strong way. Big shout out to all of our phenomenal preachers. I don't know about y'all, I was blessed over these past few weeks from Pastor Desherod Riddick, who preached an incredible message last week about returning with joy. Come on, somebody, we need a lot of joy in this season. The week before that, Pastor Chris Johnson, my best friend, preached a phenomenal message as well called No Man Left Behind. Just phenomenal. The week before that, it was Pastor Dino Rizzo. He preached about gains and goals, and we were actually going to start a series called Gains and Goals. So he actually pre-recorded that message in advance, but we kind of decided to pivot at the last minute. But he preached a phenomenal message called Gains and Goals. And then one of my good mentors, Pastor Derwin Gray of Transformation Church, preached about the good life and how we can live this good life. And so if you missed any part of those messages, I want to encourage you to go online and to check those out. But I am excited to be back here today. I've been waiting. I've been praying. God's been stirring a lot of stuff in my heart over the past few weeks. I've been having some great time with our family and my wife, Ariel. We just had some great times and just being refreshed. And I think you need that. I think you need some time where you can be refreshed and can really kind of pull away. Jesus was the prototype at pulling away and being able to get away to get refreshed. And I think you need that. Take some vacation time. Take some time away. Turn off your phones. Turn off social media. Take a moment to recalibrate and to be refreshed by the Spirit of God. And I believe that this series that we're getting ready to start today is going to help in that fashion, because today we are beginning a new series for the month of August during 21 days of prayer. We're starting a new August series. Some of y'all will catch this later. A new August series called entanglements. Come on, I want you to tell somebody who's in the room with you, say entanglements. That's our new series for the next few weeks that we're going to talk about, because I believe that 2020 has brought about its share of challenges, and many of us feel stuck right now. Many of us feel restricted right now. Many of us feel trapped right now. But I want you to know something, that God desires for you to be free so that you can become everything that he's called you to be, so you can do everything that he's called you to do. And what I need you to do right now is share this video. Share this, because there's some people in your life that you know that are not free. Like they're in bondage right now. There's a lot of things that they got going on, and they're trying to get free. And this season has been challenging. I need you to share the video. Would you please do that, so that way others can experience the hope that Jesus gives? And I believe that today and these next few weeks are going to be pivotal for you, for me, for us, our church family, everybody who's watching us online. And to kick off today's message, I want to read from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I want to go back to verse 1. It says this, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everybody say everything. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So today, to kick off part one of our series, Entanglements, I'm calling today's sermon, Get It Off You. Get it off you. I want you to find somebody in your house, and if you ain't got nobody in your house with you, your apartment, I want you to text somebody right now and tell them, get it off you. Say it with your chest. Say, get it off you. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about getting it off you. And one of the things that happened recently, as I'm thinking about this message, my family and I, last week we were preparing to go on a week-long vacation to visit friends and just to get away and just to get refreshed. And so I was in the process of loading up the van. All the guys, y'all know, that's our job. Like, we got a great job, load up the vans, put all the heavy stuff in there. And so I was loading up the van, loading up all the luggage, loading up the equipment, loading up the toys, all the things that the kids would want. And one thing happened that was very interesting. I was attempting to load up the bikes so that way the kids could actually ride around in the streets and just kind of ride around having fun and all that good stuff, because they love to ride bikes. But it was interesting, because as I was loading up the bikes and loading things up, in the process of us being on our way, the bikes somehow got entangled with one another. Matter of fact, I took a picture of it, because as it happened, I was like, oh, snap, I need to take a picture of this, because I got to show the church. I got to show everybody online that's watching. Like, this is what entanglements looks like. I want you to look at this picture. And in this picture, if you're looking at the picture, you can see that Aubrey's bike, which is like the pink bike, the Minnie Mouse bike, the bike pedal is actually like inserted in like a weird position into the black bike, which is our youngest son Joshua's bike. And so somehow they got entangled with one another. And so I'm pulling it and I'm jerking and I'm doing all these things, and it was never coming apart. And in this moment, I began to get frustrated, because something that was beginning to be, or a trip that was going to be so much fun, was immediately beginning to become frustrated simply because of an entanglement. And I think that's actually a small picture of what our life sometimes looks like. That in many ways, entanglements that come in different forms in our life are hindering us from moving forward. They're hindering us, or they're getting in the way of the plans that maybe we have, or the plans, more importantly, that God has for us. I believe that those bikes are just synonymous with our life in many ways. That we can sometimes become entangled in different ways. Which brings us to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Because here in this text, the writer is writing to believers who were Hebrew in nature. And they're believers in Jesus. But he's encouraging them to remain faithful in their walk with Jesus in spite of them experiencing hard times. Matter of fact, if you go back to the previous chapter, in chapter 11, the writer mentions how many believers of old also experienced difficult times in their life. And matter of fact, here in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What is this cloud of witnesses? This cloud of witnesses is all the believers that were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. People like Abraham, people like Noah, people like David, people like Moses and Rahab, people who trusted God. They weren't perfect. They made mistakes. They had some sin in their life, but they were faithful to God in their journey with God and not allowing the things that were entangling them to restrict them forever to cause them to miss out on the things that God wanted them to experience. And what's happening here with the believers here in Hebrews was that they found themselves being entangled in different circumstances that were impeding them from moving in the direction that God was calling them to walk in. There was a bondage of sorts that they were encountering. This text teaches us that in order for us to become who God has called us to be, that in order for you to become who God has called you to be, you and I, we got to deal with these entanglements, man. That we can find ourselves being entangled in some situations. And if we don't deal with them properly, they're going to get in the way of what God has for us. Matter of fact, the first thing that the text teaches us here about entanglements is that when it comes to entanglements, there has to first be acknowledgement. Everybody say acknowledgement. I want you to say acknowledgement. Say it loud right where you are. Say acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. What do I mean by that? Notice what the writer says. He says, therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Notice what the writer says. Everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. In the original language of the Greek New Testament, that translates to weight or burdens. One scholar actually says it's similar to a tumor, that it's getting in the way, that it's impeding, that it's a problem. And then the writer goes on to say, let's not just throw off everything that hinders, but also the sin that so easily entangles. What does he mean by the sin? Sin, that word sin means offense to God. It means to miss the mark. It means to go against what God's word actually says. And he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Everybody say entangles. That word entangles means to control tightly. It means that it has a grip on you. I don't know if you've ever walked out of your house or walked out of the door first thing in the morning. Some of you have experienced this. But in our townhouse, every single morning, we would oftentimes find ourselves walking out of the door into a massive spider web. And I don't know about you, one of the worst things that you could walk into is a spider web. Because immediately you're thinking a few things. One, where is this spider? Because I don't always see it. God forbid if you got, you know, some locks like Dylan, who works on our production team, and the spider is all up in your hair. You're trying to figure out, like, yo, what's good? Dylan, would you cut your hair off? He's behind the camera. Would you cut your hair? You wouldn't cut your hair. But this thing is entangled, and you're trying to figure this whole thing out. Like, man, where is this? And then you feel the spider web, and it literally just feels like it's just all on you, and you're entangled. That's what the Bible is talking about here. That there's sin and that there's hindrances that easily entangle us. The text is pointing us to the fact that you and I need to take inventory of our lives and our hearts to see where is there sinfulness and things that we've adopted that are not helpful. Let me help you understand something, that it's easy to get caught in something harmful. It's easy to get caught in something sinful. It's easy to get caught in sinful thought patterns and actions. And when you get caught in it, it oftentimes gets a hold of you and it gets a strong grip on you. I say it like this, that it's easy to get in sin, but it's hard to get out of. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. That it's easy to find yourself getting entrapped in that spider web, but man, it's hard to get that thing up off you. That's what the writer is talking about here. He says, let us throw off everything. Which means we got to acknowledge that there is something. We got to acknowledge that there is some sin. We got to acknowledge that there are some hindrances. And let me also say this right now, just so that way we can understand this, that there are some things that you and I can be caught in that aren't sinful, but they aren't good either. That everything that we get caught in, it's not necessarily something that's sinful, but it may be something that's harmful. I'll say it like this. I want you to write this down. That just because something isn't sinful doesn't mean that it's helpful. Just because something isn't sinful doesn't mean that it's helpful. Here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says. I have the right to do anything. Paul is writing to believers who were kind of bucking against Paul, if you will, who were saying, like, we can do whatever we want, Paul. We're free in Christ. Man, if we can lie, we can do this, we can do that. And Paul, here's what he says. I have the right to do anything, you say. He's quoting them. But not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, some of you say, but not everything is constructive. But let me say it like this, that just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can doesn't mean that you should. Because the things that you can do, but are things that you shouldn't do, are often the things that lead to bondage to you or for you. And it's real quiet right now, but I'm preaching really good because I'm helping us get free today, because I believe that God has something greater for you. That's the word for this year for our church, is greater. But in order for us to step into the greater, that means we got to acknowledge that there's some things that are actually getting in the way of the greater. So just because there are things that I can do doesn't mean that I should do it. And if things are going to change, I have to acknowledge that there are things present in my life that aren't bad, but they're not helpful either. Things that may be sinful and go contrary to God's word and God's best. I'm going to keep pushing this thing because I don't know if you got it yet. There are some things in our lives that may be good to us, but they are not good for us. I'm going to say it again. There are some things in your life that are good to you. I don't need to name them. I think you know what they are. But they are not good for you. And if we could be honest, y'all, there has been some things this year that we've allowed to occupy space in our lives that are not good. We've said things that are not godly. We've done things that are sinful. We've posted things, God help us. We posted things that don't edify anybody. We've exposed ourselves to things that are hindering our growth in God. And come on, y'all, we got to call it what it is. We got to call it what it is. We've exposed ourselves. We found ourselves entangled in sinful things, sinful practices. We've found ourselves entangled in these different hindrances, as the Bible says. The sin that so easily entangles us, and we got to call it what it is. We got to acknowledge it. The first step to recovery is admitting that there is a problem. And in order for you to step into all that God has for you this year, and I know this year may not be panning out the way that you want it to be, but there are some things right now that you got to acknowledge that you got in your life, that I have in my life, that we got to acknowledge. That until we actually confront the thing, we can't change the thing. And what the writer of Hebrews is saying here is everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, you got to acknowledge it. But notice what he says to kick off the whole sentence. He says, you also got to throw it off. Because in order for me to actually throw it off, I got to first admit that it has to be thrown away. I got to first admit that the fact that it's a problem. But when I see that it's a problem, I can't let it stay in my life any longer. No. This is the time where I actually, here's the second point, need to walk in abandonment. So I got to have some acknowledgement of the destructive things that are in my life, the sinful things that are in my life, the wicked things that are in my life. But now I got to abandon those things. It's not enough for me just to know about it, but I got to actually leave it. I got to actually cast it off. I got to throw it away. Here's what he says. Throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Watch what he says next. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The writer is helping the church. He's helping us to realize that it's not enough to acknowledge something that's sinful and something that's harmful. No. I have to abandon it. I have to throw it off. Or better yet, let me say it like this. I have to get it off me. Look at somebody in your room and tell them, get it off you. This is the year where you need to not just see the issue and to see the thing that's in your life that you know is toxic. No. This is the time and this is the year for you actually take the step to get it off you. So the question I'm going to ask you today is, what things in this season have you picked up and I picked up that are sinful and harmful that need to be thrown away? What are some things right now? What are some practices? What are some thought patterns? What are some processes? What are the things right now in my life that I need to cast aside? Here's what the Bible actually says about some of the things that we need to cast aside. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 says it like this. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Watch what he says. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. We're going to talk about all these things over the next few weeks, y'all. Which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then he says, you used to walk in these ways. He's writing to believers. And the way you live. But now, watch this, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander. Watch this. Oh, this might convict some of us. This might hurt. If you can't say amen, say ouch here. And filthy language from your lips. Now, can I just be real? This is the British Church. We like to be real and be authentic here. Look. Some of y'all are like, man, Pastor, I've never cussed so much in my life than I have in the year 2020. And look, I'm not saying that's the right thing to do, but I understand your pain and I understand your frustration. I get it. I do understand it. But here's what God is saying. I want you to get rid of it. Not because I'm trying to condemn you. This is no shade. He says, no. It's getting in the way. It's getting in the way of the fullness that I have for you to experience. Then he doesn't stop there. He says, do not lie to each other. Since, watch this, you have taken off your old self. That's the old you. If you're a follower of Jesus, these are the things you used to do. And what the Bible is trying to help us understand is, don't go back to that. Don't allow the difficulties of 2020 to cause you to pick up things that are toxic. And if you have picked up some things that are toxic, abandon them. He says, you've taken off your old self with its practices. Watch this and have put on the new self. We'll talk about that in a moment, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. There are some habits and practices and patterns that need to be eliminated from our lives right now. Why do we need to abandon them? The writer tells us at the end of verse 2, so that we can run with perseverance. This is language of anybody who's ever run track. You know that you want to have as little weight as possible when you're running, because the more weight that you have on you, the slower you will be able to run, and it impedes your progress and being able to be successful in running the race, such as it is when it's coming to the running the race of life. That God says, I want you to shed the things in your life that are getting in the way and that are holding you back from becoming everything that I've called you to become. The things that you've been entangled with. It's time to get it off you. I need somebody to say it. Write it down in the chat. Get it off you. That's what God is calling you to do. That's what God is calling me to do. He said, get it off you. Get it off you. Why? Because God is calling you to go somewhere. God is taking you somewhere. He's taking us on a journey. He's trying to get us to a certain place. And let me say it like this. The destination requires elimination. The destination requires elimination. That in order for me to get to the place that God wants me to be, even in a pandemic, means I got to get rid of some stuff. It also might mean I may have to redefine some relationships. Come on, somebody. Some of us are in some toxic relationships. Some of us have gotten into toxic relationships since you've been in this pandemic. Come on, I'm coming right down your street right now. Some of us have entered into illicit, ungodly relationships just because you want somebody to be with because you've been alone. And I get it, and I understand. But God is saying, that's not my plan for you. That I got something better. And in order for you to tap into it, man, you gotta let it go. The destination requires elimination. And here's the thing, y'all. We can't do this on our own. Nah, we can't. cut out the things in our life that are sinful and harmful in and of ourselves. Because let's just be honest, we're not that strong, y'all. We're not that good. Only God is good, the Bible says. In and of ourselves, we are not able to do this. I want you to, let me say this, and I hope you don't take offense to us, but it is the truth. You are not enough. You're not. I am not enough. But here's the good news. You don't have to be, because Jesus is enough. Jesus is your enough. Which leads us to the next verse, in verse 2 and verse 3. Notice what he says. We throw off all this stuff. Verse 2, and fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus. Here's what the writer is trying to help us understand. That the only way you and I can get this stuff off of us is, yes, there has to be some acknowledgement. Yes, there has to be an abandonment. But the only way those things can happen is that there has to be some alignment. What do I mean by alignment? After the writer says, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Notice what he says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. What is he trying to advocate for here? He's trying to get us to the place where we now are in step with Jesus, where we are in congruency with Jesus, where we are in alignment with Jesus. This is why multiple times in the Gospels, you'll see Jesus coming up to people and he'll say things like, come, follow me. That's language of alignment. Jesus is our example of what endurance looks like. Jesus is also our enabler who enables us to be able to throw off that which gets in the way of us living out God's purpose for our lives. So when the writer says to fix our eyes or attention on Jesus, he's calling us to come into agreement with Jesus. He's calling us to come into alignment with Jesus, because it's through Jesus that we can throw off everything that we are entangled with. I want you to know something, family. Get this in your spirit. Jesus came to set you free. That through Jesus and only Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and life. Nobody comes to the Father except through him. It is only through Jesus that you and I can truly experience freedom from all of the things that have us entangled. Here's what Galatians 5:1 says. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Watch this now. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus says, I know you can't get yourself out of the trouble that you're in. I know you can't set yourself free. But here's the good news. You don't have to do it on your own. Because what I've done is I've come to give you the power to be able to be set free. So that now in me, you can throw off the things that easily entangle you. Come on, somebody. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That in Jesus, I experience freedom. Let me say it like this. Following Jesus is the path to experiencing freedom. Following Jesus is the path to experiencing freedom. You want to know what the key to experiencing freedom from the entanglements that you're in? Let me help you understand something. It ain't the red table talk, y'all. No. It's the red blood that dripped down on Calvary's cross from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the pathway to you and I experiencing the freedom from the entanglements and the sin that so easily entangles us and the hindrances, the harmful things that we've allowed to come into our life. It is only through Jesus and in Jesus that we can get and experience freedom. Come on, somebody. I need somebody to give me some amens and to shout me down in the comment section right now. I need y'all to light it up and give me some emojis right now, because it is only through Jesus that we can experience freedom. And it's time for you and I to walk in the freedom that God has for us, so that we can run the race that he has for us, so that we can live the life that he's called us to live. It is time for us to come into alignment with Jesus. Here's what Romans chapter 13 says, verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Watch this. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, all those sinful things, you know what they are. All those harmful things, you know what they are. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness, watch this, and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery. We're going to get into all this over these next few weeks. Not in dissension, not in jealousy. Verse 14, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. I like what the CSB says in verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make plans to gratify the desires of the flesh. How do we come into alignment with Jesus? Things like prayer. This is why 21 days of prayer and fasting is so crucial to you right now and for you and I right now and for everyone who's watching us right now. You need this season of prayer. You need God to show you the things that you've allowed to come into your life that are sucking out the calling that God has for you to walk in, that are invading the space that God wants to occupy. What's another way that we get into alignment with Jesus? By reading and studying God's word. Let me say this emphatically, as your pastor, don't you let a single day go by where you don't read God's word. Don't you let a single day go by where you don't read God's word. The Bible says man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every single day, get in the word so God's word can get in you. And this is so important. And this is a statistic that I recently just ran across this week. It says this, a recent study by Lifeway Research says this, that only 32% of Christians are in the word each day. Only 32% of Christians are in the word each day. And the question I'm going to ask us is, how can we get in alignment with Jesus if we never get in the word to know Jesus? How can we know what to do? How can we know how to follow if we're not reading the book? Every single day, some of y'all right now need to go on Amazon after the message is done and go order you a brand new study Bible. Some of us right now, man, you need to go ahead and download the YouVersion Bible app. Some of us right now, you need to start a brand new Bible reading plan. Whatever it is, you need to get in the Word every single day. Because in a time where we are being fed all of the stuff on the news, we're in this time where we're being fed lies and conspiracy theories and all these different types of ideologies and all these myths, we need to feed on the truth and on the Word of God so we can stay in alignment with Jesus. How can we be confident that through Jesus we can be free of what entangled us? I'm glad you asked. I want to close with this. Verse 3, notice what it says. Or end of verse 2. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Why is this profound? I'm about to shout right now because I know what I'm about to say. Why is this so profound? Because Jesus went to the cross. He was crucified for our sins. He was buried. But something interesting happened when he was buried. If you know your Bible, when he was buried, the Bible says he was wrapped in linen cloths. His body was bound in linen cloths in the tomb on Friday. That same body stayed in the grave on Saturday, entangled in linen cloth. But on Sunday morning, witnesses came to the tomb. And there was a few things that were interesting. Number one, they saw that the body of Jesus that they buried in the tomb was not there. That's shout-worthy, and I'm shouting all day over that. But the other thing that's so shout-worthy is that when they came to the tomb, it wasn't just what they didn't see. It was also something powerful in what they did see. Because though they didn't see the body of Jesus there, they saw the very thing that was wrapping Jesus up in the tomb, which were the linen cloths. And the Bible says they were folded nice and neat in the tomb. I don't know if you just caught what just happened here. The very thing that Jesus was entangled with, he left behind. In other words, here's what he's telling us. The very thing that had me bound, I got it off me on the third day. Y'all don't know when to shout. That's the good news of the gospel. And here's the good news of Jesus. He says, the very thing that had me bound, I'm here to tell you and to declare to you today that because of my resurrection power, it does not have power and control over me. I am able to get it off of me, and I was able to get it off of me, and any person who believes in me, any person who trusts in me, the very thing that has you bound, you can get off of you today, that through Jesus, you can be free from whatever it is you find yourself entangled in this season. Here's what I'm saying. Negative thoughts, get it off of you. The labels that you've allowed the enemy to label you with, get it off of you. Generational strongholds, get it off of you. Lustful actions, get it off of you, because Jesus has come to set the captives free. He says, in me, you find freedom. Matter of fact, he said it like this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he has sent me to proclaim, watch this, freedom for the prisoners or the captives, those who are entangled, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Family, I want to declare and decree today that this is the year for your freedom. This is the year for you to experience greater growth. I know it did not come in the package that you may not have expected, in the package of COVID-19, in the package of things being shut down, in the package of vacations having to be canceled, in the package of graduations having to be online, in the package of some of you having to go through a divorce, in the package of some of you experience a loss of life in your family due to COVID, due to suicide, whatever it may be. But I want you to know today that whatever it is that has you in bondage, that whatever it is that has you entangled, through Jesus, you can get it off you. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. This is the year of greater. This is the year for you to be free. This is the year for you to get it off of you. And family, I'm here to encourage you, to let you know that the sin, the stronghold, the struggle, whatever it is right now that you are struggling with, that you're in bondage to, I want you to know that in Jesus, you can be free. That the pornography addiction that you have, you can be free. That the cussing mouth that you got right now, you can be free. That the alcoholism and the addiction that you're battling with, I want you to know that Jesus has said, I have come to set you free. You are free in his name. Some of you came here today like, man, Pastor Edwin, I came here struggling, and I came here on empty, and I came here mouth dry. I came here wondering, is there a word from the Lord, and wondering if I could experience any type of growth and any type of transformation in the midst of all the things that I'm going through. And I want you to know that, yes, there is. And his name is Jesus. So we fix our eyes on Jesus. We focus on Jesus. We align with Jesus. He is the source of our strength. He is the author and perfecter of our faith and our salvation. It is through him and in him that we are now set free. Some of you are watching this right now. You've heard this message and it has pricked your heart. You've heard everything that God's word has declared over your life. You've heard and seen everything that God has said. You've been convicted maybe of your sin. I've experienced the same thing. Even while I was preparing this, you've been convicted of things that aren't sinful but aren't helpful. And God is saying it's time for you to get it off you, because it's hindering what I want to do in your life. It's hindering what I want to do in your marriage. It's hindering what I want to do through your kids. It's hindering all the things that I want to do in your life. It is getting in the way. He says today is the day where you get it off you. And the only way you can do that is by coming to Jesus. So if you're here right now, under the sound of my voice, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, if this is you and you're saying, today, Pastor, I want to be free. I want to be free from the things that have me entangled, whatever it is. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if this is you today and you're a follower of Christ, but you're entangled, I'm praying for you right now. Praying that God will set you free. Praying that today God's grace will be sufficient as it always is. And for those of us who are here, and you don't know Jesus, you're not a follower of Christ, but you are in bondage. I don't know what it is. All of us have something. But God says, I sent my son Jesus to set you free. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I want to be free. I don't have a relationship with God at all. I've never come to Jesus. I've never invited him into my life. I've never confessed with my mouth and believed in my heart that he is Lord and that he died for my sins. But today I want to receive him so I can begin to walk in freedom. If this is your desire, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you came to set me free. I receive your freedom. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life. Jesus, would you be my Lord? Jesus, would you be my Savior? Thank you for freedom. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for adopting me. In your name I pray. Amen. Come on, church family. I believe that we've had so many people just in this moment who have said yes to Jesus, and we believe in celebrating every person who said yes to Jesus. So if you said yes to Christ, we are excited for you. We say welcome home to the family of God, and we're honored to call you family. I'm honored to be your pastor if you believe that this is your church home, and we want to come alongside of you today, man. You see all the comments if you're watching on Facebook or watching on our website or on YouTube, wherever you're watching this from. I'm pretty sure you see some type of activity, and it's us celebrating with you because we believe that God wants to set you free. We believe that God has something incredible for you. In a few moments, you're going to hear a little bit more about how you can take the next step, but here's one thing I want you to do right now. If you just prayed that prayer, I want you to text the word, I decided. Text that to 94,000. That's at the bottom of your screen, because what we want to do is we want to connect with you and we want to help you walk out the freedom that God has for you. Church family, can we one more time make as much noise for every single person who said yes to Jesus today? Come on.